You're there at home, take your Bibles or take your smartphone with your Bible on it. Just whichever way you're looking at your scriptures tonight, they will be posted back behind me. We are doing that tonight. We're doing this live from Calvary Lighthouse Church. Doing it a little bit different tonight. That's just kind of how we've done it all along the way. We've just done it different ways all along the way, trying to keep it mixed up a little bit, keep folks interested, wanting to hear the wonderful Word of God, and wanting to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. We have been called to worship. Well, as Sister Lindsay has already kind of exhorted about, you know, that's where church used to be. At the houses of the individuals that got saved, they would just start church right there, and they would start holding services and worshiping God and letting the Spirit of God move right in their households. We've mentioned that. At the very onslaught of when we started this Facebook Live of worshiping in our homes and magnifying God in our homes, and I trust you're getting the feel of it. I understand. I've talked to different individuals. I understand it's not exactly the same as being in church. But God is the same God that you encounter at church that you can encounter at home. It's a matter of just kind of pressing past the mind frame of it and going ahead and letting the Spirit of God stir your soul, stir your heart. Hallelujah. Who knows? Before this thing is over, you might be worshiping God in your house just like you worship God in the church. That would be a wonderful thing. Really, it would, because you will find then when you come back to the house of God, you will be worshiping even in a greater capacity because you've learned to do it at home. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter number 5 tonight is our beginning scripture. Once again, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. And as Lindsay's already kind of mentioned, you know, a lot of Paul's writings, he was in prison when he wrote the majority of the epistles. Sometimes he was imprisoned or in house quarters, and then at later times he was in the prison and he was being watched by guards. When he first was incarcerated, he was gave liberty. He always had a soldier guarding him, but he was allowed to go to a house and stay at a home. But as things began to progress and persecution began to increase, then he was moved to the lower parts of the prisons where it's cold, it was damp, it was dark. And as even Lindsay already mentioned, there was probably rats there also. So Paul probably preached to all God's creatures. Think about it. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 15. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Here's the will of the Lord. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I want to share tonight on watching is wise. Watching is wise. Paul says, and once again, he's writing from being bound, he's writing from being in prison, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." You and I are looking the days of evil in the face. You and I are experiencing the days of evil of these last days. Now, Paul was writing for that period of time. Paul was writing for those believers at that time, and he was encouraging them to be wise and to pay attention to the time, to redeem the time. That's wisdom. Walking circumspectly, in other words, walking wisely, doing what you do with wisdom, watching what you do, because others are watching you. See, this is what Paul's after. This is what he's writing to that church about, because they are the light to shine of that day and that hour, and you and I are the light to shine of the hour we live in. And so he's encouraging and he's admonishing, there we go, the believers to be wise. Wisdom. It's something that doesn't prevail much in these last days. Wisdom. It's making right choices in the midst of circumstances where things could really go wrong, but you still make the right choice anyway. Wisdom. And then he talks about being filled with the Spirit and making melody in your heart to the Lord. These are the things, if you will, for you and I as the children of the Lord, to keep us on the firing line, to keep us on the upper side of our Christianity, to keep us living for the Lord in perilous times, living for the Lord in evil times, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And here's verse number 20. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the story of Corrie ten Boom and the fact that she gave thanks to God when she was in a German prison camp. She gave thanks to the Lord for fleas. And the reason she gave thanks to the Lord for fleas, because it was because of the fleas in the barracks of the women that they could hold their Bible study. Because the soldiers and the guards would not come into the barracks of the women because of the fleas. And so she began to thank God for fleas, because that's what enabled her to have a Bible study, and that's what enables souls to be saved in that situation in a prison war camp. Amen. So we've got to realize, no matter what things may come around, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very inconvenient for us. This is very life-threatening for many. But at the same time, hearts are turning towards God. At the same time, we're surveying our relationship with God. Are we going to be able to maintain our relationship with God when we don't get to come to the house of God? Mm-hmm. Are you rejoicing in the Lord because He's in your house? Are you rejoicing and thanking God that He hasn't left you nor forsaken you? Are you rejoicing and thanking God because this is drawing you closer to Him? Yes, it's a tremendous inconvenience. Everybody would rather be in the house of God than watching Facebook Live. But at the same time, God can speak to our hearts, and we can respond to God right in our cars, right in our living rooms, right wherever we're at, when God's Word comes our way. Hallelujah. And so we see giving thanks in all things unto God. Watching is wise. In other words, being circumspect is watching. And being wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. In Joshua chapter 22, and verse number 5, it says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all His ways, and to keep His commandments, and to cleave unto Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, these are words of admonition from Joshua, all the way back to the children of Israel in the Old Testament. These same words are given to you and I continuously, even in the New Testament. not by Joshua in the New Testament, but by the Apostle Paul, by the Apostle Peter, by James, by John. This same admonition has not changed. The Testament has changed, but the admonition has not changed. And that admonition is an admonition of wisdom. Hallelujah. There's nobody that can make you serve the Lord. Now, God could make you serve Him, but He will not. And there's no one that can actually make you serve the Lord. There's individuals that can put peer pressure upon you to serve the Lord. But the only one that's going to be able to get you to serve the Lord is you. That's where the victory's found. We try as a pastor, as a church family, we try to encourage and encourage and encourage individuals to serve the Lord and walk in victory. But it's only going to happen when individuals respond to the Word of God, receive that admonition as from the Lord, and surrender themselves to God and say, I will serve my God. Joshua was telling them, be diligent. Diligence. That means when you do it even if you don't feel like it. That's diligence. Diligence. Take diligent heed to the commandment and the law. Diligence. Cleave unto the Lord. Serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul. This admonition has been written all through the ages of time. This is God's desire for mankind. This is God's desire for you and I. So we have to watch how we're living. We've got to watch what we're doing. The reason so many times failure comes our way is because we are not paying attention to what's going on in our minds. We're not paying attention to the lies that the enemy is bringing to our ears, so to speak. And we're not watching and we're not looking. And thus we are not being wise in our everyday living. Whoa. Take diligent heed. That means pay close attention. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6. Once again, Paul writing to the church at Colossae. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. Watching, paying attention, being wise, preparing one's heart and mind, because you and I are living in this world. We're not of this world, but we're living in this world. But we are to walk in wisdom towards this world. In other words, we are to be ready to give an answer of what we believe, why we believe, and why we have joy, and why we have hope, and why we don't live in fear. Hallelujah. Now, the only way we'll be ready is if we have been watching for our own souls. We have been reading God's Word, and we have been absorbing God's Word, and we have been attentive to God's Word when it's shared with us. Amen. A diligent listener. Notice how he said, let your speech be always with grace. Always with grace. Grace. That same grace God's given unto you. You're in this world. You're not of this world. You don't act like this world. You don't look like this world, but yet you want to reach to this world. You want to extend the same grace. Seasoned with salt means you want to show them the light of the kingdom, and the glory of your God, and the love and the mercy and the kindness that He's shown you. You want to show them so that you can have a conversation with them. You see, If you encounter this world, and you encounter this world with a holier-than-thou attitude, they're not going to want to listen to what you may have to say, though what you may have to say is right. And so Paul is letting them realize that you've got to walk in wisdom. You got to walk in grace. And you've got to be realizing today is an opportunity to live for Jesus. It's not you get up every morning and say, oh man, today I got to live for Jesus. No, it's an opportunity you have to shine your light for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you're only shining it to your siblings, you're still shining it. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, once again, Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And this is just in a list. If you want to go and read chapter 5, there's a whole lot of admonition there. But I've pulled this one out because this is where wisdom's at. This is watching is wise. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In other words, every form of evil, we need to shun it. We don't need to embrace it and partake of it. We need to get away from it and rebuke it. Hallelujah. That's what he's saying. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I mean, previously to verse 22, he's talking about being filled with the Spirit. He's talking about praying always. He's talking about drawing nigh to the Lord and rejoicing in our God. And then he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's not a problem to abstain from the appearance of evil when you're led by the Spirit of God, worshiping God, and having fellowship with God. It's not a problem to abstain from all appearance of evil. And so, that one falls there after the reality of where my strength comes from. Well, it comes from being wise and building my relationship with the Lord. It comes from watching what I'm doing. Being aware of when I become stale or stagnant. Being aware of when I begin to quench the Spirit and I begin to grieve the Spirit. Because when I begin to do that, then evil has a greater allure than Jesus Christ does. And so I've got to watch where I'm at, what I'm doing, what I'm being entertained by, because that will lead me astray. You know, a lot of times people get a little irritated at the preachers who start preaching about the music they listen to. Do you realize the high influence that music and lyrics have upon the soul? I mean, that is why we listen to gospel music, Christian music, as children of God, because we want those fleeting moments of when we are listening to increase our relationship with God and our magnifying of God and our glorifying of God and keeping our minds on the things of God. That's what we just read. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That was one of my biggest trials after I got saved, because when I got saved back in 1983, and then just, I mean, not very long after that, I just started listening to gospel music and gospel music alone. Before that, I'd listened to country music. I had listened to a little rock music, a little, pop music, just different things and things like that. But when I got saved and Jesus Christ came into my life, I wanted my music and the songs I listened to promote my Christianity that I had just found. And I left all the world of music behind. And the reason I left it behind is because I wanted to grow in my relationship with God. I wanted to grow in my allegiance to God. I wanted to grow in my knowledge of God. I wanted to be filled with the Spirit of God. I wanted to walk in the Spirit of God. And so I wanted everything that was coming into my mind to be a godly influence. Wow. Makes sense, doesn't it? And now you know why we talk about it and preach about it, because it has influence on your mind whether you think it does or not. It does. It does. Matthew 25, verses 5 and 6. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Watch. watch. Watching is wise. Here we find the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were ready and 5 were not. What was the difference in the 5? 5 of them were wise. They were watching. They knew what needed to be done as the bridegroom tarried. 5 were foolish. They were hoping they could get in on the 5 wise's operation. You read the rest of the story. And while they went to find oil, the bridegroom came. And 5 went in and 5 got left behind because they weren't watching. They weren't waiting. They weren't being wise. Thus, they weren't ready, and they didn't go. Matthew 25:13, then the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. Sister Pepper's made reference to this different times in some of the different services to the reality. We don't know the hour, we don't know the day, but we know the signs. And so wisdom mandates to us to be ready, to be watching, to be looking. Hallelujah, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, "Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall." I encourage you to go back and read chapter 1. And read more of the admonition, because here is a statement made by Peter, you know, ye shall never fall. Wow. So there is a way and things I can do to keep me from falling. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so we see then giving all diligence. Here's the word again, diligence. This is something that we've got to realize. A lot of times our failures are because of our lack of diligence, our lack of watching, our lack of being wise about circumstances, situations, and decisions. You see, nobody can change decisions except ourselves. And sometimes I realize it's hard to make that decision to go the inconvenient route. In other words, to do what's right, regardless. Hallelujah. But Peter said that if you'll do that, if you'll do that, if you'll do these things, if you'll do the Word of God, if you'll do what the Spirit of God speaks to your heart, you shall never fall. We like to give ourselves a lot of leeway. We like to give ourselves a lot of room. We like to really let excuses be more the mandate than God's word. So many times, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is drawing nigh to the Lord, and the Lord will draw nigh to us, and we will be strengthened. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to be closing with this verse tonight. Said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Remember, watching is wise. "Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." This is a statement of our Lord and our Savior, that because we are watching and thus we are living wisely in this present world, that we are going to be ready when he comes. And when he catches us away and takes us to heaven to be with him. I realize a lot of times we talk about worship, and there's going to be worship in heaven. But right here, Jesus Christ is talking about a meal that he's going to prepare for us, and that he's going to serve to us. He's still serving you and I today. He's going to do it in the future also. How much more should we be serving Him now? Hallelujah. Watching what we're doing, paying attention to what's going on, and taking opportunity of every ounce of grace God pours to us. Hallelujah, that we might serve Him diligently, wisely, circumspectly, that we might walk in this world as lights to shine, as glimmers of hope. Glimmers of hope. I saw a writing. Some of you probably saw it on your Facebook page, on the park bench, and it said, "There's still hope." Wow. That's what I'm sharing with us tonight. There's still hope for you and I. There's still power from above. The blood is still the same. Hallelujah. It's a matter of you and I becoming more wise. It's a matter of you and I becoming more diligent. It's a matter of you and I watching and paying attention and not being deceived and not taking this time, as Sister Lindsay's already mentioned, and letting it be a time of despair. Let it be a time of rejoicing and building your relationship with God. We have social separation going on. You're supposed to be staying in your homes as much as possible. You may get bored. We'll do something strange. You can go outside if it's not raining. Go outside and worship your God. Go outside and walk around your house praising your King. Go outside, walk around your house praying and asking God for wisdom in these last days. Redeem the time you have to be at home. Your busyness is not there. Some are still working. Some are still busy. Don't misunderstand me. But you have more time on your hands now than you had 3 weeks ago. What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with redeeming the time? Hallelujah. Being wise with our time. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. I think they're going to come back. Sister Pepper's going to come back to the piano for us here for a while. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Thank you, Jesus. Redeeming the time. Watching and waiting. Looking for the coming of the Lord. There are so many signs of the times round about us. Church, we need to be wise in these evil days. And we need to be watching for every opportunity we have to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.